Good afternoon. Amen. That's a true song there. If we lift him up, put him on the cross, he'll draw me into him. Tell you about Matthew chapter 5. Let's pray for Brother Stroud this afternoon as he's in the lectureship, sound doctrine lecture this week with Brother Harper. And I'll be there Thursday. And so we just ask you all to pray for us as we share in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. If you visit with us this evening, we're happy to have you with us, and we are thankful to have you with us. I want to say this afternoon, for a brief moment, I need you to ask yourself this question. Can you say I am blessed according to this study? And this study is, some call it Beatitudes. It's a sermon Jesus taught to a multitude on a mountain. It's called a Sermon on the Mount as well. And it starts in Matthew chapter 5. So ask yourself as we go through it, we'll recap at the end. Can you say you're blessed? And if you can't say you're blessed, then that's an area you need to work in. In my opinion, Jesus said these people are going to make it to heaven. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 1, and he's seeing the multitudes.
He went up into a mountain. And when he was set,
his disciples came unto him. And so he's a multitude of disciples, followers of Christ, are listening to this sermon, this message he's going to speak. He opened his mouth and he taught them. So he's teaching them. And he said the first thing is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, so the idea is that, can I say I am blessed? Can you say I am blessed? Well, are you poor in spirit? You can say you're blessed if you're poor. He said, now notice he said every time he goes say there's something with this, for theirs is the kingdom
of heaven.
He didn't say maybe or nothing like that. He said theirs is the kingdom. So it requires being poor in spirit to have the kingdom. So listen to this. He says a person who is poor in spirit, this person, if you go to Revelation, the Laodiceans thought they were rich, but Jesus corrected them, so I think that's the best place to go. Revelation chapter 3 and the verses number 14. Now, my reader was yawning on me already, and so I got to work him this afternoon. I see that already. In verse number 14, he said, now, an angel of the Lord, angel of the church of the
Laodiceans, right?
Yeah, right.
These things said the Amen.
Now, this is Jesus speaking.
The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Read.
I know thy works.
He said, I know you.
That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot.
Yeah, he said, you're not eating cold or hot. I know you're doing a lot of talking, right? Notice what he says. So then.
Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Now, no benefit to God. Notice what he says. Here's why.
Because thou sayest.
Because here's what you're saying about yourself. You're saying that you're rich.
And
you're saying that
goods.
you're blessed, increasing in goods.
And have need of nothing.
You ain't got nothing. And have need of nothing, rather. He said, you as if you're living like, you're so blessed. You're saying, I'm rich. I got all these good. Look at me, how blessed I am. And you don't need nothing. No one's not. That he said, what you don't know about yourself is your view of you is not the way I see you. You are neither. He said, you don't know that thou art number one, wretched,
miserable, poor,
you're poor,
blind,
you're blind,
and naked.
You're naked. Anyway, he said, you believe that what your view of you is different from the way I see you. So and then he says, I'm gonna counsel you
to buy of me.
Now, here's what you do. Now, if you want to start looking at value, you start looking at Jesus for your value. The value said, buy of me gold tried with fire, in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. When you're going through some things, then you know you need God. And you know you're without God. And then when you know you're without God, that's when you're rich. And wear white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, anoint thy eyes. You got eyes have need. I mean, you see yourself as blessed, and you really are not blessed. You see yourself as rich, and you really are not rich. You're wretched, and you're miserable, and you are poor. And so he says you need to look at yourself that may see that you're not like you see you are. So when you start looking at it, you ask yourself, can I say I'm blessed? One way to see, are you yourself poor in spirit? Do you see yourself broke without God? There's nothing. You're wretched without God. You're nothing without God. You're in total need. A poor person is in desperate need of help. Those of us who are children of God are blessed when we see that we're in desperate need of God. There's no time that we're not without need of God. We're always poor when it comes to needing God. That's the spirit. Number two. Verse 4, he said, blessed are the day that mourn. Verse 5, Matthew 5, 4. He said, blessed are the day that what? Matthew 5, 4.
Blessed are they that mourn.
That mourn.
For they shall be comforted.
Now, there's something come with each one of them. So the first one, there is the kingdom. Now, this emotional response here now. The poor in spirit is my view of me in need of God. The second one, I'm blessed when my view is correct. Second one, I'm blessed when my emotions are understood. Y'all with me? So he said, blessed are they that mourn. So you can look at mourn in two different ways. The mourners, you can be blessed if your mourning leads you to godly sorrow over sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and the verses number 10. Listen to this. This is the first way you can look at mourning. Here's how mourning benefits you. It benefits you. You got to see mourning as a benefit to you. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, the Bible says what?
For godly sorrow. Work at repentance to salvation. Not to be
repentant. Now, notice it. When I'm sorry about my mistakes I made and it brings me to tears, now I'm mourning over my mistake that separated me from God. That's a blessing. For godly sorrow working what?
Repentance.
See, sometimes we got to hit with the brick. You got to get hit hard in life before you come to repentance. And that happened to many of us. And we look back on it and we're sorry because the sin that I committed got me in this situation I'm in now. And so that leads us to sorrow and to crying, and it brings you repentance. And because it brought you repentance, it was good for you. That's a blessed person who's mourning. The second way is deaths. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon says it just like that. He said it's better. In verse number 2, I think it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2.
It is better to go to the house of mourning.
He said, now notice what he just comes straight out with it. Here's how mourning is a blessing. And this is why Jesus said, blessed are the day of mourning. He said, now this is as it is better for us to be in a state of mourning. In a state of mourning. And mourning, no, this mourning he's talking about is over death. Notice what he says. It says what?
Then to go to the house of feasting.
Yeah, right, read on.
For that is the end of all men.
So he's talking about death. So when you're mourning over the loss of someone you love, and it brings you into a state of sorrow, and notice this, he said, that's the end. The purpose of mourning is stated next. Sorrow is better than? You ain't went to sleep on me. Next verse.
And the living will lay it to his heart.
Yeah, really.
Sorrow is better than laughter.
See, he's saying, it's better for me than laughing. See, folk that break down crying over a lost loved one, he said, it's better that you be in that state right there. You don't need to be laughing all your life. And so God used death to put us in a state of mourning. And then those of us who are living will look at the dead and think, oh, man, I got to go too. Notice what he says there.
For by the sadness of the countenance of the heart.
By the sadness of the countenance
of
the
heart is made better.
I'm thinking better now that I've lost my loved one. So Jesus simply saying, you are blessed when you're in a state of sorrow. Because in both cases, it brings you closer to God. And whatever happens in our lives that brings us closer to God is a blessing. Can you say, I am blessed? Only if you can, I can tell you how you do it. You can say, I'm blessed when it comes to morning. Only if you understand that morning is to your good. Amen. Number 3, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall... Something come with
the earth.
This time he said, you bless if you're meek. Now, meek is a person who has mild manners, gentle. This person is not proud ambiguous and causing problems, confusion. This person is mild. They're not puffed up, lifted up. They're mild and meek. And Jesus and that person, there's a major benefit to him. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, in James chapter 1 verse 21, James write it like this. He said,
wherefore they apart all filthiness
and superfluity of naughtiness
and receive with meekness.
Notice what he says. Now here's the benefit right here. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Now watch what it's able to do.
Which is able to save your soul.
So three things that get us. Our stuff we see we won't. Second thing that'll get us, that'll keep us out of heaven, will be the flesh. I want what I see. My flesh calls for it, craves for it. And then the third one is the pride of life. A meek cannot stay in the same room with pride. So what he's saying is the word of God can be received with meekness. And as long as you're meek, you'll receive it even when it hurts. And then you'll make the change and you're a blessed person. Can you say I am blessed this afternoon? How many of y'all can say I am blessed to be poor in spirit? I'm blessed to be, what's the next one?
Blessed are they which do hunger.
No, this is not that one. I'm just trying to recap. What's the first one? Poor and second one? Third one?
Me.
Now, number four. Blessed are they
which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Now, the second, what comes with that is being filled. So, if I'm not hungry, I'm never going to pursue being filled, am I? So when you look at this, can you say you blessed? One way to know is that just like you look at your physical life, you know, right now, if I'm thirsty, I got something to quench the thirst, right? I'm going to take a drink while I'm at it. So y'all get the physical life, and the body will say, hey, you need some water. It'll give you the thing we call, man, I'm thirsty. And then you got this other piece when your stomach starts growling. He said, man, I'm hungry. So the physical body is saying, look here, you better get something to drink and you better put something in me or I'm going to die. And you get the body engages and says, hey, thirsty, hungry. You say, yes. Body say, okay. You go to sleep and worship because you ate at 2 o'clock. And the reason we did it because we were what?
Hungry.
So if you understand that, then Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the word of God is considered milk. And as a baby desired me, a baby will scream and holler until what? Mama, you know how to shut them up? Especially they screaming at night, hurry up. Remember when we were driving, and Raynell, our baby girl, I remember this very good. We brought her home from the hospital, and that girl was crying. And I said, man, something ain't right about this child. This is going to be a big crybaby. Well, she is screaming all night long. I said, oh, Lord. I said, Sharon, do something. And she would call herself, doing the old way of feeding them. And, breastfeeding. And so that baby cried. I said, oh, Lord, this is a big cry, baby. Sharon, do something. We took her to the doctor. The doctor said she wouldn't get no milk. So we went and got away from the traditional way of doing it and went and got us a bottle, put some milk in and shook it up, heated that thing up. Put that bottle in my mouth. That was it. Right now, a good little baby from then on. Wouldn't get no milk. What she had? See, her body was saying, hey, I need milk. And her mom would tell them, y'all, I ain't getting nothing from this place y'all trying to give it to me from. So when you start looking at your spiritual life, your spiritual weapon, you got to have a desire. You got to want to drink the milk. You got to be thirsty. Your body got to be calling for your spiritual well-being to cause you to thirst and to want to drink. And there are two things. The Bible, Jesus talked about him, called himself the water. He's water. He's the living water. James, John 4 and 13 and 14. And then again in John 6:32, he said, I am the bread of life. So guess what he's saying? If you're hungry and you're thirsting after righteousness, you got to have a desire, because your spiritual life requires, in order to live righteous, you got to be fed. So you are blessed to see, then you can say, I am blessed. I came here because I had a desire to be fed. You know, when you go to a church, no matter what, anyone who come and ask me, how do I select a church? You want to go to a church that you're going to be fed. Amen. You want a preacher that can feed you. That's how you should select. You select on best. What's the best? How would you select foods that you eat? You know, some of us eat these foods that are that are not healthy. But if you want to live longer, guess what? You're going to start making a better choice and selection of food that you put into your physical body. Amen, somebody. And that'll help you from having clogged arteries and things. But no, we can line this up. No desire, no milk. No thirst, no water. No hunger, no bread. All of this is required for righteousness. Can you say, I am blessed? You can if you know that you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Number what? Four, five? Number six, verse seven.
Blessed are the merciful.
Merciful. One way you can know that you understand that you're receiving mercy from God, and you can love your neighbor as yourself and extend the same mercy to others that God has extended to you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus said like this.
For if ye love them
if
which
you
love you,
them which love you.
What think have ye?
Uh-huh. It's easy to love somebody you love.
For sinners also love
people,
those
sinners
that love
can do
them.
That. Sinners can do that. If you do good.
To them which do good to you, what think have ye?
You're returning a favor.
For sinners also do even the same.
You ain't got to be a Christian to do good. You ain't got to be a Christian to love. Somebody who can love you back. It's easy to love somebody who loves you back, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think there's a song out there like that. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, so it's easy to lend to somebody they're going to more likely pay you back.
For sinners also lend to sinners
to receive as much gain. Yeah, they think that's going to pay them back and going to get some gain from it. But then verse 35, he said, but he love you who?
Your enemies.
Enemies.
And do good and lend.
Lend.
Hoping for nothing again.
And your war shall
be great.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall be the children of the highest.
For he's what?
Kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
Uh-huh. So God is, Jesus said, God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So he don't have to have them doing good to him for him to do good to them. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it be ye therefore, because of the way God is when it comes to being merciful, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is
merciful.
What? Merciful. So you are blessed when you see that God, here's how you blessed are the merciful, because the merciful, to see the Father being merciful to them, therefore it makes it easy for me to be merciful to anyone, even my enemy. Amen. Verse number 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
This is second. This is another one. How many is this? Five? Who keeping notes this afternoon? Y'all was hungry and thirsty after food, and you didn't keep no notes. What number is it? Six. Number six. Blessed are the pure where?
In heart.
Now, heart, you know, heart is not talking about the part where as a man thinking in his what? Heart, so is he. Now, notice we said, they shall see.
See God.
No doubt about it. They shall see. How can that be the case? I'm going to tell you why. In Hebrews 4:12, listen to the Bible. The heart cannot be contaminated. It has to be decontaminated. Let me say it like that. It has to be decontaminated. There's only one thing that to do. In Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says,
For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword,
uh-huh.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder
of soul and spirit, joints and marrow.
It's
going all inside. Now, notice what he's saying.
And is a discerner of
it
the thoughts.
It discerns the thoughts and intents
of the heart.
Of the heart. So the only way my heart can be pure is the pure word of God flushes out contaminants. Now, every time you hear crazy talk or evil speaking, those are contaminations. When you have the world saying things to you, those are contaminations. But when the word of God is going in, that's pure. You follow me? And so you look at it as a flush. What you got to continue to do in order to get to heaven is to continue to flush out the contaminants with the pure word of God. And that's how you shall see. If a man do what the Bible says do, he will not miss heaven. Uncontaminated word is what you need. Y'all understand that one? Can you say you blessed? When somebody respect the word of God to move out their evil thoughts and things and correct them when they're wrong, that's what the word of God, for all scripture, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Word of God does it. Can't you see what Jesus is saying? It's something common with all of them. He shall see. And that same thing, John says, I had time I go over there and show you, just come and thought to me. In the book of John, he's talking about there's a seed. He's saying a child of God cannot sin. Somebody said, well, that can't be true. But as long as you do exactly what the seed says do, you won't sin. It's impossible. The seed, Luke 8:11, is the word of God. As long as the seed is in you, which means if you do exactly what it says, it will never lead you to sin. Why? Because it's pure. Let's get another one. Verse number 9. What's this one?
Blessed are the
number peace. Seven. This is number 7? Number 7. Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
Peacemakers. For they shall be called
the children of God.
Now, this one is something else here and there. Because some of us are not at peace with other people, even family members and things like this. Well, let me see, get real. This is a very serious one. Because there's something here you got to know. I know Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, he said, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then he said, this is what we lean on. Say, if it be possible.
As much as
so
lie in you.
When somebody I don't want to be at peace with, the Bible does say if it be possible. But that's a problem if you're leaning on it. That's kind of like someone, and we can't have a good discussion today, but sometimes we say things to give us a crutch and an out to stay wrong. We say things, oh, well, you know, it's hard to love, is it? Or you just saying it because you don't want to love. It's hard to forgive. Oh, it's hard to forgive, but the Bible says his commands are not grievous. So you don't want to forgive. You see, so and here's the case here. What I'm saying is that when I come over and say, you know, it's if I leave, I don't want to be at peace. I can use this verse if I want to, but I can use it wrongly. Because the Hebrew writer says something else. Listen to the Hebrew writer. He says something that has to be considered when you make that statement. He says in Hebrews 12:14, listen to this one. He says, Hebrews 12:14.
Follow peace with all men.
The Hebrew writer says, follow peace with who?
All men.
Even though it is hard to? That includes all men. He says,
and
in conjunction with that is
holiness.
Listen to the remainder of the verse.
Without
man being at peace,
no man shall see
the Lord. And being holy, no man shall see the Lord. That's in your Bible. So what do you do with it, brother? I'm not at peace with my uncle, my auntie, my mama, my daddy. You better be. But here's the thing. The only, you know who peaceful people will be? Holy people. That's why he conjunctioned the two, because holy people can be at peace with the enemy. Yeah. Didn't Jesus do it? He did it from the cross. He didn't fight back, he didn't spit back, he didn't slap back, he didn't kick back. Why? He was holy. He took what come with it, which leads us to the next one. He said, because if somebody's a troublemaker, you notice he says, you're not going to be called a child of God. That's why when people, you see people, man, how did he or she put up with that and do that and still didn't want to fight back? That must be a child of God. When a person fights back, folk don't call you children of God. Who going to be called children of God? Those who are peacemakers. Can you say I'm blessed? If you're a peacemaker. Yeah. But if you're a troublemaker, no blessing for you. Because people won't even call you a child of God. Verse 10 and 11 kind of go together. Look at it. Blessed are they which are persecuted
for righteousness' sake.
Now, this persecution because you're trying to do right.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
They're going to make it. Because they remain righteous. And the persecution didn't change their righteousness. Verse number 11.
Blessed are ye which shall revile you and persecute you.
They're going to be insulted, mistreated, just like Jesus. And persecuted.
And shall say all
people
going to
say all lies,
manner
of evil against you, and it's because of Jesus.
For my sake.
The first is because you're trying to live right. The second persecution because you're doing it in the name of the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. Folk can persecute you and talk about you and think you all that, you think you all holy and that, you think this and that, you think you better than everybody else because you're trying to live right. That's what we see. We see that type of persecution these days. You don't see persecution like being hung and all that. But for those of us who are in the Church of Christ strictly and narrowly focused, we'll think y'all the only one. Well, we're doing it. We're being persecuted, reviled, and talked about because of the name of Jesus. Because we only do what we do by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we can't be righteous if we don't follow the authority of God. So these two go together. Then Jesus comes back and say, rejoice.
And be exceeding glad.
For great
is your reward in heaven.
Now he's still talking to this group. He said, now these people were being killed. They were it's called martyrs and things like back then. They were killing Christians because they followers of Christ. And we don't see a whole lot of that today. You see it overseas somewhere, but not a lot of it. But in this case, Jesus was saying to them, they were listening to him, and they knew they were getting persecuted. It was pretty obvious. But he says, y'all are blessed. For great is your reward, where?
In heaven.
And then he reminds them.
For so persecuted.
You're not the only one. We have to be reminded. We're not the only one that got persecuted because we're Christians, or because we're followers of Christ, or because we call ourselves children of God. By the prophets, they were which were before you. Because then you say, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You can rejoice and be exceedingly glad knowing that your reward is in heaven. Is greater than the persecution you may take in this life. Which could be talked about, whatever the persecution is. Revile, lying on you, falsely accusing you. You're great, your reward is great. What he's saying, when you can take that and it don't bother you, what do I mean by don't bother you? You don't let that change you from being who you are and being right in the sight of God. Your reward is great in heaven. So let's recap this afternoon. Here I go. Here I'm going to give them to you. Number one, you can say I'm blessed. I can say. My question is, can you say I am blessed? And when I say it, you can say, I am blessed. You read me? Y'all ready? Now, don't lie in the church building. And keep your head down when you say it so nobody knows. Just move your mouth like you're saying, I am blessed, but to yourself saying, I'm not blessed yet. I'll get ready. When I say what it is, you say, I am. Okay, ready? Poor in spirit. Now, somebody say, I am poor in spirit. I'm trying to get y'all to do a recall to me. Okay, so if I say poor in spirit, you say I am blessed. Okay, ready? You are poor in spirit. You experience mourning. You have a meek spirit. You are hungry and thirsty to live righteously. You are a merciful person. You are pure in your heart. You are a peacemaker. You can take persecution to live right. You can take reviling. You can take being false, evil being against you. If you said, I am blessed, those areas you don't need to work on. But I'm going to tell you something, right, Brother Brooks said it. If you can't say, I am blessed, you've identified one thing that's going to keep you from heaven. You've identified it. It came from a sermon from Jesus. So if you be honest in your heart, you can say, man, I gotta work on that one. I gotta work on that one. You know what? And you saw what we talking. It's a good lesson. Amen. Good thought provoking. Yeah, we're trying to get to heaven, right? I was talking to my daughter this morning. I said, you know, you can go to hell without trying. You do. You can. I was telling her, you know. You gotta, when you fall, you gotta get up and try again. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you just want to go to hell, then why bother with us? But if you're really trying to get to heaven, then you take these type of lessons and you work on those areas. And I can tell you, some stuff you don't have to work on, you just got to repent of them. Mm-hmm. Amen? You feel what I'm saying? It ain't something you got to draw out for the next 20 years. Some of this stuff you can just say, I'm going to be from now on, I'm going to be merciful. I'm not going to talk back or fight back. From now on, I'm going to be at peace. That's it. I'm through with that. It's over. See, that's called repentance, right? So if you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, man, you're in a bad place. There's no blessing coming to you being outside of Christ. You say, what I got to do? The man sung the song, but I'd be lifted up. And what he's talking about, if lifting up Jesus, if we lift Jesus up on the cross and you see him, you'll see love, you'll see forgiveness, you'll see all the beauties of God on the cross. One who was long-suffering, one who was a peacemaker, one who was poor in spirit, who lowered himself, more Lord than the angels, and died a death as a servant, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cruelest death is crucifixion. And that's what our Lord did. And they talked about him, and they reviled him. But he was a peacemaker. He was merciful. He was all the things he told us to be. And he gave us some guarantees after each one of them. If you mourn, you're going to get comfort. You're going to get comfort. If you go through persecution, you're going to get your reward. So he's just trying to get us to say, hey, it's something good coming with each of these. Yeah. If you're hungry and thirsty, you're going to get fed. You're going to get filled with everything you need in order to make it to heaven. God didn't leave it. God didn't make it hard, did he? He didn't make it hard. Sometimes we make it hard because we don't want to do it the way God said do it. That's what makes it hard. That's when we say, oh, it's hard. Now, you don't want to do it the way God said do it. When you do it the way God said do it, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Is that right? You're here tonight, you need to be a Christian. You come by hearing the gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection, crucifixion story of the suffering Savior on the cross. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. And then be baptized as commanded by our Lord in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. Baptism does save us. 1 Peter 3:21. In baptism, the sins are washed away. Revelation 1 and verse 5, Acts 22 and verse 16. Then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47 to say that in the church, there is but one. Paul called it in Romans 16:16. He says, salute one another, holy kids, the churches of Christ. Salute you. If you're here tonight, you want to be a member of the church of Christ, you got to do it by obeying that gospel. If you're here tonight, you are a member. You've been struggling. You've been struggling. You got some things you need to work on. If you need us to pray with you, we want to do that tonight. We believe God is still in the answering prayer business. Amen. We believe he's still answering prayers. And some of us need prayer. I need prayer. Y'all please pray for me and continue to pray for me. May God bless you. Would you come as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?